Welcome to the Inventory Nation podcast, a show designed to bring you the incredible voices and stories of veterinary professionals coast to coast, all while helping you to manage and control your inventory. I'm your host, Nicole Claussen, coach, advisor, and champion for veterinary teams and their inventory. Joining you live from the mountains of Montana, welcome to the show. Hello, welcome back to the Inventory Nation podcast. I am so excited that you're tuning in. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you're a longtime listener. I truly appreciate you tuning in. So today I have some fun stuff planned that I want to talk about. And I also am so excited to share that the first ever Inventory Manager Appreciation Day is happening on June 7th. So every year from now on, the first Wednesday of every June will be a day to celebrate you as an inventory manager. I am just so excited about this. I have been working on this for quite a while, and I'm so glad that it's like out in the world. I remember when I was an inventory manager and Vet Tech Week rolled around and I didn't get anything because I wasn't technically like a technician. I wasn't really kind of any part of any specific group in the practice. So it was just kind of like me on my own little island. So, and I've heard from other fellow inventory managers who feel the same way. So, and y'all know how much I love you. You know how amazing I think you are. So I'm just so excited to put this day of celebration and appreciation out into the world for you. So June 7th, mark your calendars. We're going to be celebrating all week, sharing your stories and just, you know, sharing different, perspective stories, and showcasing you. So super excited about that. And then on June 7th, nominations will open for the first ever Inventory Manager of the Year Award. So, people can nominate you, or you can also self-nominate yourself. they are accepted, welcomed, and encouraged. Self-nominations are. And so what will happen is, I have a committee who will be kind of deciding the finalists, and then the finalists will go to a vote, and then the Inventory Manager of the Year will be awarded to somebody, and you'll get an epic, prize pack from VetCove, an epic prize pack from Epicure Pharmacy, who are very generous sponsors of this. You'll also get a really cool, award plaque thing, and you'll get the full suite of courses from me, including the certification program. If you're already a member of the course, or courses, you can also get a gift certificate, if you will, to VetLogic. So nominations will open on June 7th. They'll be open for 2 weeks. So that's what's happening in June. I absolutely cannot wait for it. And as always, if you have any questions about any of that, I'll have more information rolling out as time goes on, but you can also reach out to me directly. So that is the scoop on that. So let's just go ahead and dive right into today's episode. So, today I wanted to talk about kind of some ideas and inspiration for getting your team to charge appropriately, or kind of, sell your inventory appropriately in the system, in an effort to keep your quantity on hand accurate, but also to not miss charges and kind of have that revenue loss. So I wanted to share kind of some of my favorite ideas. But one of the things that I just kind of invite you to keep in mind is the thought that you know, your practice is unique, your team's culture is unique, and you know what works best for your practice. So I'll be sharing kind of some ideas and things that I found well that works over the years, but just kind of think about these in terms of your practice and say like, okay, does this make sense for us? Would this work well in our situation? How could we kind of adapt or alter this to fit us even better? And just kind of start to kind of ask those questions because, you know, kind of the adventurous part, I think, about being an inventory manager or in a leadership role in your practice is just kind of finding what works well and, you know, kind of moving your practice forward in the direction, you know, that really serves everyone and ultimately is the best for our patient care. So just kind of think about these things that I'm saying. Think through the lens of, okay, does this make sense for my practice? How could I adapt it to make it work even better? How can I really kind of embody the change and want to, you know, move our practice forward? So let's go ahead and just get right started. So first and foremost, my biggest tip for helping your team sell appropriately and effectively is, you know, kind of a quote from Brené Brown, and it's clear is kind. So setting up your descriptions in your software so that they make sense to everyone. So as an example, usually the software will kind of like have a spot for a unit of measurement, but oftentimes I'll include it in the description. So for example, I'll say like vitamin B, you know, whatever the strength is, and then I'll say per mil in parentheses so that everyone is super clear that it's charged per mil. Maybe my Unison is charged per bottle, or maybe my, oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking on the word for it right now, and I do not know why. It is the other thing that is, this is going to totally bug me the whole episode. Oh my word. Okay, it's the other antibiotic that is reconstituted, and I cannot for the life of me, it is right at the tip of my tongue. Okay, we're just going to move on. Anyways, so you can have blank whatever it is, and then you could say per bottle so that everyone is super clear. And I also think about this for some of our supplements or some of our diets when there's a ton of different varieties and combinations, right? If we think about like a urinary food, right? There is urinary pate and stew and with chicken and with fish. And I mean, it could go on forever in a day. So just making sure that your descriptions are super clear as far as what is charged for. One thing that I also kind of like run into is sometimes the unit of measures don't make sense. So for example, if you have heartworm prevention set up as per box, but you sell it per dose, and then people have to enter 0.166 or 1.67 or 0.167 every time they sell a single dose, that doesn't kind of align. So really just making sure that your descriptions are as clear as possible. And so when I think about charging, I want everyone from the veterinarians to the care team to, you know, our client service rock stars up front, I want everyone to know what everything means. And so that's kind of where that clarity can come into play. One thing also kind of like as a side note is also like barcode scanners, especially for diets. Barcode scanners can be super helpful for dispensing food correctly to make sure that the correct thing is being charged for every time. So the other kind of thing that you can do for setting up your practice management system and leveraging this software is to use groups, packages, and linked items. So this kind of helps, you know, attach our inventory items to kind of automate the process of deducting from our on-hand quantity. So really creating groups, packages, and linked items can be an excellent way to help deduct inventory effectively, but also charge our clients appropriately. So I kind of think about these in two different ways. So as an example, our groups in your software. So I think about groups as a collection of services or items that you want to bundle together, but you want the client to see each of those items. So for example, you might have a blood transfusion group that includes all the necessary elements in a blood transfusion, or you could also have chemotherapy administration, and it kind of includes all the medication, any specialty supplies, any blood work, monitoring, et cetera, so that no charges get missed. Another one is an ACTH stim test group. So creating groups can really help your team not forget to charge for something, especially if it's a procedure or something that is not done super often. It's a really great way to make sure that it's kind of all bundled in there together. So the next one that I like to consider is packages in your software. So I consider packages like a service, for example, like pre-anesthetic medication, with inventory items linked or associated on the back end as kind of like a choose your own adventure style, so that things can be deducted from inventory, but the client doesn't see this on the invoice. So the example of pre-anesthetic meds, you have all your pre-meds listed. And then as soon as that pre-anesthetic meds is added to the invoice, your team can specify the amounts used. So that can really kind of help keep things accurate, from an inventory perspective, but also kind of provide that complete medical record. So it's super easy to go and see exactly the amounts are administered. Some software systems will even allow you to add in waste in that section. So for example, like propofol, let's say that you administered 5 mils, but you wasted 3 mils. You're actually able to add that waste in so that the waste and the amount administered is pulled out of inventory. So there's some really cool things that you can do depending on the software. Like in Cornerstone, you can do smart groups. It's pretty cool. So then the last kind of thing that I consider with this is just kind of linked or associated items in your inventory. And so this would be linked items would be an inventory item or a service that has one item linked in the back end. So clients don't see this, but your team doesn't either. So a good example of this would be a vaccine. So the vaccine inventory item is linked to the vaccine treatment code or service code so that every time a vaccine is administered, one is pulled out of inventory. But this kind of happens automatically on the back end and it isn't dependent on your team. So they don't have to specify, oh, I gave one vaccine, because usually that's how much you give anyway. So kind of leveraging your groups, your packages, and your linked items can really kind of help deduct things out of inventory and help kind of charge appropriately for a lot of different things. So highly recommend using that. And then just keeping kind of in mind that like clear is kind for our system and making sure that people are, really clear as far as what they're supposed to be charging for. Something else that I have noticed is sometimes your team will select the inventory item when they should be selecting the treatment code. And so what I like to do for that is make the description really like technical. And you could also set the price for the inventory item as like $9,000. So if it accidentally gets added to the chart, somebody's gonna be like, wait a second, why is this $9,000? And then it can be like, oh, because we picked the wrong one. We need to take that one off and add the appropriate treatment code. So that's also something you can keep in mind. So The next thing that I find not only really helpful, but also really fun is playing the Price is Right game. And so this can be super helpful, super fun as a way for your team to kind of recognize how expensive some things are, because I think unless we've managed inventory, it can be challenging for your team to be like, wait a second, I actually, you know, there's kind of like this disconnect between how expensive it is to run a veterinary practice versus kind of what is, you know, what they kind of think. And so there kind of might be that disconnect. So the Price is Right can really bridge that gap. And so what you can do is you can, you know, pick all of your most expensive items. And so, you know, let's say like you grab a sleeve of heartworm prevention, you know, sometimes it's over $1,000, or you grab, a big bottle of enrofloxacin, which is like easily over $300. So a lot of times they just don't recognize that. And so you can kind of grab your most expensive items or any items that, like equipment that, you know, isn't kind of cared for well, and it's just kind of like knocked around sometimes, like a pulse ox cable. Those are easily like, you know, I don't know, maybe like at least $300. And so you kind of gather up all these items during like a team meeting or something like that and have folks guess how, you know, how expensive it is. And then whoever is closest wins a prize. So that can be just kind of like a fun, engaging way to work with your team to kind of help them understand the costs of the items and how expensive they are. And I've noticed that really helps then improve patient charges, that there's not like, we're not missing a bunch of things because people are like, oh, this is actually incredibly expensive. I need to make sure that I'm charging for it. So that can be really fun. The next thing is catching and checking for mischarges. So I know that I've kind of talked about the impact of mischarges before, but if you haven't heard me talk about it, the impact of mischarges can be significant. So if we're thinking about our cost of goods and our inventory costs, one of the things that can be a huge cost of goods killer is when we are purchasing an item, but we're not generating any revenue from it, or we are, you know, having our inventory costs are staying the same, but our revenue is going down or decreasing. And so that can, you know, for thinking about our cost of goods, especially as a percentage of revenue sold, if we're missing, you know, tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars, that's going to impact us in a significant way. And so, you know, auditing medical records can be super helpful. And just kind of trying to track down any trends or patterns to see what or why something might be getting continually missed. Super, super beneficial. I've talked with, you know, a number of people, especially recently, who are, you know, working on decreasing their cost of goods, you know, clients and what have you. And, you know, we've kind of gone through and, you know, we've looked at, you know, the mischarges and kind of the trends and patterns on that. And, you know, they found like, you know, we're talking easily hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, you know, that's huge right there. If we think about team raises and hiring new team members or, you know, new equipment, you know, that's going to make such a big difference. The other thing that I've kind of seen happen more lately as of late is mischarges, but in a different way. But so they are intentionally not charging for something as kind of like a quote unquote Robin Hood kind of theft. So that, you know, team members or doctors or somebody is saying, oh, I'm not going to charge you for this. It's free of charge today, but they don't maybe have the authorization or, you know, like that's not really their call to make. And so they're opting to miss charges as a way of not billing the client and making it less expensive for the client. And so I've just heard quite a few stories kind of like recently, and that's kind of becoming more common. So, and you know, there's no right or wrong answer here. I think it always comes back to our practice values to say like, okay, is this appropriate? Do we have a budget in place for this? Right? Maybe we're like allotted a certain dollar amount per month that we can kind of discount or give away. And kind of what does the accountability look like there? So again, I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong answer, but it's something to be aware and cognizant about. And just kind of have that discussion, you know, with your practice owner, with your management team to say like, okay, what is our policy for this? How do we handle these situations? What does this look like according to our goals and values of our practice? And just make sure that, you know, everyone is singing off the same sheet of music. So another thing that can be helpful is creating estimates. And so just creating estimates for everything that people can use. It's kind of like a super bundle or a super package, right? So that, you know, when you have a surgery that you don't perform very often, you have an estimate that's ready to go to kind of give those kind of charging guidelines, you know, maybe a blood glucose curve, or maybe if you're in an area that doesn't often see parvo, you might have a parvo estimate. So when a case comes in, you're like, oh yeah, how do we charge for this? What do we do here? Kind of already has that outlined. So another kind of like fun team activity that you can do is kind of in a team meeting, you can have like groups or, you know, of different team members, and you can kind of like draw out of a hat, or you could all work on like one type of procedure. And then you can all kind of work individually in the groups to kind of come up with, you know, an estimate or an invoice to see if anyone missed any charges. So that can also be a fun way to kind of, you know, a low stakes way to kind of integrate some of those charging guidelines without, you know, actually, you know, technically missing those charges. And I kind of like touched on this briefly, but another helpful thing can be putting charging guidelines in place so that you have those processes for folks to follow and you don't have a big bottleneck as far as how to charge for something. So for example, you know, thinking about, okay, when should we charge for hospitalization level 1 versus level 3? When do we charge for this versus when do we not charge for this? If we're, you know, doing some oxygen therapy, when do we, you know, charge for that versus when do we not? Another big, you know, kind of like system or process to think through is, what if you have quoted the client on a dental estimate, you've given the client the quote, but as soon as you got in there, the, you know, it is much significantly worse than you initially thought, and it's going to require much more, you know, many more extractions, more time, more everything. But what if you can't get a hold of the client? How does your team handle that? So, you know, kind of like thinking through these different scenarios that pop up, and then kind of, you know, working through as a team, how do we want to handle these? How are we going to kind of put some type of structure in place so that when this does happen again, we have something to go back to, we have something to reference? Because I think especially with dentistry, these situations can pop up where you like get in there and you're like, oh my gosh, my, you know, P4 has like a massive slab fracture, and I'm going to be in here for, you know, way more than I ever thought. You know, how do we kind of move forward with that with the client? So just kind of some scenarios to kind of think through, consider, because I think the time to think through them is not when it's like mission critical and you have the space and you have the time to say like, okay, if this comes up, what can we do? Rather than the patient being on the table, you can't get a hold of the owner. And then everyone's like, oh my gosh, what do we do? So if we already have a plan, you know, we plan the work and then we work the plan. So just kind of my thought there about coming up with charging guidelines. Okay, so the Another thing would be to kind of double check your charges before checkout. So maybe you're the room technician enters the charges and then the doctor does the final check, or vice versa, or you have somebody just checking off charges before the client checks out. So that's a lot of checks in one sentence. And then another thing that can be helpful is just having another set of eyes when you have a big procedure, an extended hospitalization stay. So you just kind of have multiple sets of eyes to make sure you're not missing anything. Because I think the more that we can catch before the client checks out and leaves, the better, you know, because that's such a bummer of a phone call to say like, oh, hey, Mrs. Smith, I'm so sorry, we forgot to charge you for Fifi's x-rays. I mean, I've had to make way too many of those calls in my day. And honestly, I'd probably rather watch paint dry than have to make some of those calls because they're so awkward. So, you know, avoiding, and I think it's also like a client service miss, I think, too. So, and then my final thought is to double check prescriptions before they leave the door. So this is helpful not only from an inventory perspective, but it's also helpful from a medical and patient safety perspective, so that, you know, we're checking, you know, prednisolone versus prednisone, amoxicillin versus amoxicillin with clavulanic acid, you know, that we are making sure that we have the right milligram, the right strength, the right medication, you know, all the different rights are kind of like being checked off, to make sure that A, we have, the correct medication going home with the patient, because we absolutely want to, you know, eliminate those patient care errors, but also it helps us from an inventory perspective, because if the wrong thing goes out the door, our inventory is going to be off. So those are kind of some things that I like to do to kind of set our team up for success when it comes to charging correctly. So thinking through, you know, if your team is struggling with charging correctly, you know, think through, remember, you know, clear is kind. Is it super clear in my practice management system what needs to be charged for when? Do I have charging guidelines? Have I set my team up for success? So, you know, ask yourself that question. Is it the fact that they're just too busy and missing things and we need to like slow down and have some double checks? Is there some patterns and trends that we're noticing with medical record audits? You know, kind of like, what does that look like? What kind of expectations can we reestablish? How can we kind of leverage the tools such as our software to manage that correctly? So those are just a few of my thoughts as far as tips for kind of getting your team to charge for inventory. Hope some of that was helpful and gave you some inspiration there. As always, keep in mind, June 7th, Inventory Manager Appreciation Day, and that same day, June 7th, nominations are open for the Inventory Manager of the Year Award. So that's what's coming up. And yeah, so thank you so much for listening. I truly appreciate it. I just love this opportunity to connect. If you implement any of these in your practice, I'd love to hear how it's going. I love getting updates. I just love it all. So thank you all so much for listening. I hope you have a great week. Take care of yourself. Be well. And we'll talk soon. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Inventory Nation podcast and spending your time with me. I know your time is valuable and in short supply, so it truly is an honor. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or leave a review. Be sure to visit vetlogic.co/podcast to access the show notes and discover additional links and resources. See you next time.